This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Friday, September 16th, 2022. I am Dave Biddle, very happy to be joined by Jonah Booker for his usual Friday visit. Love talking to you the day before a game, Ohio State-Toledo, tomorrow night at the Horseshoe. We'll get into that a little bit later. Toledo is a solid team out of the MAC. I want to start the show talking about Ohio State's 2021 recruiting class. Jay Book, we knew coming into the season it was elite. Travion Henderson, JT Tumuloau, Jack Sawyer, I mean, on and on and on. It might be better than what we thought. Guys like Michael Hall Jr. stepping up. I thought one of the second-year defensive linemen needed to step up as a star. And I was thinking either JT Tumuloau, Jack Sawyer, Tyleek Williams. And I'm high on all those guys still. But with Michael Hall Jr. stepping up, I mean, there's a bunch of other guys too. We haven't seen Jordan Hancock play this year. I know Denzel Burke's taking a little step back, but I'm still high on him. Could this 2021 class be even better than we thought, which is a scary proposition?
I think they can, Dave. I mean, you look at this class right now, and you have to obviously point out the defensive line. They have exceeded my expectations out the gates right now. They're playing some high-level football. And as you mentioned, the emergence of Michael Hall, that's been the big one there because I think he has the potential to be a star. I didn't see this type of play coming from him after he redshirted. They were always confident that Mike could play here, and thought that he was a heck of a guy when it came to working out, doing everything that he's supposed to do. But now you're seeing a guy that looks like he could be a potential first-round defensive lineman. And everybody knew that JTT and Jack Sawyer had the potential to be first-round defensive lineman. And if they can get Tyleek Williams going with his size and his first step, he has the potential to be a monster. So far, so good. If they can get Denzel Burke playing at a high level, the thing with Burke is he just needs to get out of his own head, get his confidence back. And if he can do that, I think he would be okay. But that class, especially on the defensive side of the football, it looks tremendous.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, J.K. Johnson, Burke's going to be fine. They knocked it out of the park with defensive linemen. Those four defensive linemen, we might look back on that as like the best, foursome of defensive linemen ever in one class at Ohio State. I know that's saying a lot, but there's been like some trios I can think of, but four guys, they just knocked it out. And I like all three of the corners they got, J.K. Johnson, Jordan Hancock, and Denzel Burke. Again, we know Denzel's struggling, but I still think he's going to be okay. All right, let's get into this. Speaking of the second-year guys, Emeka Egbuka and Marvin Harrison, we were super high on them coming into the year. They look even better than maybe people expected, or at least as good. Emeka drew headlines the other day. He's as humble as you could possibly be, especially for like an elite player like he is. But he made the comment that drew headlines that he thinks And he said it like in a humble way, but you know how this is going to draw like attention. He said he thinks him and Marvin Harrison Jr. can be better than Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson were when they were at LSU. A bold statement there. What do you think of that?
Why not? I mean, why not? Hey, I like it. I like the young fella, you know, putting his money where his mouth is. If he truly believes that they have the potential to have greatness here at Ohio State, who are we to say, hey, don't say that. These guys see each other every day in practice. They know what their potential is when it comes to playing at a high level. Both Emeka and Marvin right now, they're hot. With JSN and Julian Fleming being out, it has given these two guys the limelight to really shine. They're carrying over their solid play from the Rose Bowl. They're only sophomores, but by next year, end of next year, that's if Kyle McCord can play quarterback at a high level. There's no reason why that duo couldn't be, you know, phenomenal right now. I know Dane Brugler, a draft scout, he said if Marvin Harrison left for the NFL draft this year, he has Marvin as wide receiver one in this year's draft over JSN, over Boot from LSU. So that right there tells you if a lot of draft scouts believe that Marvin Harrison is a wide receiver one, he just needs to continue his high level of play. And as long as Emeka meets his expectations and starts to exceed it, there's no reason why these two can't be on the same level as Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson.
I love it. If they can get there, excuse me, we'll all be very, very happy. All right, let's get into this too. Chip Trainum has emerged as the number one kickoff returner for the Buckeyes. I didn't see this coming, but it does make sense. I mean, he's, you know, Dave was talking about it yesterday that, you know, he likes having somebody strong back there, somebody, you know, that obviously has a running back background. He was a running back at Arizona State. He's even getting some reps in practice just in case they need an emergency tailback. He's the backup middle linebacker, so they're not down on him at linebacker. He's in the two deep. The problem is Tommy Eichenberg is just balling out, and he's getting all the snaps there. So Chip Trainum as the kickoff returner. Your thoughts, sir?
This is phenomenal, Dave. I mean, I can't remember a time where a backup linebacker is your kick returner. I'm so excited to see how this plays out because if you watch him on kickoff, man, he is an absolute missile. I know Ryan Day had talked about how fast he's going when they're measuring the kid's wind speed and stuff, and he's right up there, if not probably one of the fastest players on the team. He's a strong guy. He is yoked up out of his mind, and with him having the skills as a running back playing at this level, I feel much more confident that he would be able to handle that football. It's one thing if you say, hey, we're going to have Jordan Hicks back there. We're going to have Hicks back there returning
Cody
kicks.
Simon.
Yeah, Cody Simon returning kicks. But with Chip Trainum, he's just a different beast. Like, he's one of those guys that you look at him, and if push comes to shove, I truly believe that he'll be able to carry the running back low if in case of emergency at Ohio State. There's not many kids at the college level that has that freakish athleticism that he has when it comes to being able to get shot out of a cannon running down on kickoffs and returning kicks and being able to be as strong as he is.
Yeah, and you hit on it. I mean, you've talked to some of the other linebackers. You know, I'll give Doug Lamorese from Cleveland.com credit for this. He was asking for superlatives, and he was asking some of the linebackers, who's the fastest linebacker? They all said Chip Trainum's the fastest. Who's the strongest linebacker? Chip Trainum. So there you go. And they got some fast, strong linebackers. He's the strongest and the fastest. So that's easy to see why they think he can be a kick returner. And we'll see.
Dave, if he breaks a kick to the house, I'm going to lose my mind.
He's the first one to do it. Poor Emeka gets the first punt return for a touchdown in 8 years for the Buckeyes. They have two penalties on the same play. They're like, we're not even going to mess around. We have two penalties on the same play. We're not going to let you return this, Emeka.
Yeah. And before we go on, I will say this, though. I feel bad for whoever's going to be on kickoff that has to tackle this man that's running at full speed. It's going to be a violent collision. Someone as myself who was a special teams kid and running down there at full speed trying to make the tackle. I used to love it, but, man, I would hate to try to tackle Chip Trainum running at full speed.
230 pounds coming at you at high speed. Yes, sir. It's going to be interesting. And I love Emeka as the punt returner, obviously. All right, let's get into this too. All right. Now, Very simple question. Two games in, are you happy? You happy with what you're seeing out of the Buckeyes?
I will say I'm not happy because I think they can play better. I think that the defense, once they start getting their hands on the football right now, I think that's going to be the big factor. I do think that the offense has not really hit its stride yet. So for me to say happy, that would say that I believe that they can beat Alabama or Georgia right now. And I don't know if that's the case. I do think that they have the absolute potential to beat those teams, but I don't think Ohio State is close to playing their best football yet, which is early. As Donna said, the penalties, yes, the penalties absolutely need to be cleaned up. But I would definitely say that I'm not happy right now because I haven't seen them really just come out and put the foot on somebody's throat like we all know that they can. It can start here with Toledo and continue to build that momentum as we head into the Big Ten season with Wisconsin on deck. But right now, I am not happy with where they're at. But that doesn't mean that I don't think they're playing well. I just think that they haven't put it all together yet. And that's to be expected. When you're missing JSN, when you're missing Julian, obviously the offense is going to be somewhat out of sync. When you're installing a new defense and you're trying to figure out who's going to be the right combination up front, I think that I'm very surprised about how ahead they are on defense right now. I think that they're attacking, but once they really start getting their hands on the football, start forcing turnovers, and start playing as a complete team, offense, defense, special teams, that's when I'll become happy with their play.
Well said. I'm happy with certain things that I wanted to see. I like the way the defense is flying around. They're not perfect, but I like what I'm seeing out of the defense overall. I like what I'm seeing out of the running game overall, and I like the toughness, but they need to put it all together. They need to clean up the penalties. They've not played a full game yet, but it's only two games. But, yeah, you said that very well. All right, let's get into Toledo. All right, Buckeyes favored by 31.5. Toledo's picked to win the MAC by Phil Steele, at least their division of the MAC. They got a good quarterback, dual-threat quarterback, a lot of starters coming back from last year, good head coach in Jason Candle. I tend to think the Buckeyes are going to come in hungry, though. They're probably sick of saying, oh, they're not, they don't look as good as we thought they would. But Toledo's a good team. I have Ohio State winning this game. I think I put it down in our staff predictions like 52-17, something around there. And again, I give Toledo credit, but I think Ohio State's going to come ready to play. What's your prediction for this game, sir?
I have Ohio State winning this one 48-13. Dave, I do think that Toledo is going to be better than Arkansas State here. I think this is a situation where Toledo, they have a veteran team in the MAC. They have a lot of guys that obviously don't depart to the NFL. So a lot of fifth-year guys, some COVID guys that came back, a couple transfers. So I think Toledo has an impressive offense. Their passing defense has been solid so far this season. So I look at it as this is going to be somewhat a challenge, not anything to be worried about here. I do think that if Ohio State can get rolling on offense, meaning that they're scoring in the red zone, the defense is holding, I do think this game has the potential to get out of hand. But Ohio State usually don't run up the score a whole lot on in-state MAC teams just out of respect. This is usually a payday for those teams. So I have it Ohio State 48, Toledo 13.
So we both have them winning by 35 points. Our scores are very similar. I have them winning 52-17. We both have them winning by 35 points. We'll take that. We have the Buckeyes barely covering the spread. That'd be the first time they did it this year. All right, a couple questions to get to. We had one about Denzel Burke. This is from David on YouTube. How much more rope will they give Denzel Burke before they make a change? What do you think? I mean, it was kind of telling when Jim Knowles was – now, Jim Knowles said Denzel's fine. He's in a little bit of a slump. He missed a lot of camp. He's fine. But he also said he would love to get Jordan Hancock back. So I wonder if Jordan Hancock was healthy, if maybe they would have put him in there. They put J.K. Johnson in there a little bit. What do you think? If Denzel Burke keeps in this slump, are they going to bench him and put somebody else in there?
I mean, what we've seen from Jim Knowles right now is he is not playing games with these kids. He, if you don't perform at his expectations and perform at a high level, he will yank you. We saw it with Josh Proctor game one, and we also saw it with Denzel the last game there where they put J.K. Johnson in, who finished the game with 50 snaps, the highest amount of all of the defensive back or cornerbacks there. So I will say this. I will say Denzel needs to come out and play early. And he need, what I mean is he needs to ball out early on. If he's out there getting torched, he's out there getting pass interference calls, he's extending drives for the offense. And if Hancock is healthy and the way that they starting to build that confidence in J.K. Johnson, I think Denzel is on a short leash. Now, with that being said, they have to bounce, they have to walk a tight line here, Dave, because this is something that we harp back to at the beginning of camp when they opened up camp, when we said they do not have a lot of depth at the cornerback position. The last thing that they can actually do right now is lose Denzel long-term mentally. Like, we don't, the last thing that they need is for him to check out. At safety, you know, you can pull somebody right now because you have so many talented guys back there, and you could plug them in and it can still continue to play at a high level. With the corner depth and with Cam Brown having an injury history, with J.K. Johnson not being healthy this season, they're going to need Denzel. So you have to walk that tightrope to where you don't destroy the kid's confidence, but you also need to send him a message that he needs to dial in. He needs to focus and get his technique together, because the flying squirrel that he did when he was out there trying to defend the pass out there, I can guarantee you that is not a technique that they're teaching in practice.
The flying squirrel, I love it. Just guessing and throwing your hands up and just, you know, just awful, awful technique there. The flying squirrel, I love that. A couple more questions to get to, and we'll get you out of here. This is directed to you. This is from Jim on YouTube. Jay Book, what happens to Notre Dame's recruiting class if they fire Marcus Freeman?
I think Notre Dame class is in shambles. there's no way to put it. I mean, at that point, I will say this. If Marcus Freeman is fired, I can totally see Notre Dame circling back to go get Luke Fickell. That was Luke's job to have. Basically, Luke being the guy that he is, he did not want to abandon Cincinnati while they were in the playoffs. So he told Notre Dame, if you want to bring me in as the head coach, it has to be after the playoffs. Well, with early signing period coming up, Notre Dame wanted to maintain the class that they already had, and so they decided to move quickly with Marcus Freeman. So with that being said, I do think that if, for whatever reason, Marcus was terminated, I do believe that that class will fall apart. But I don't think that they're going to fire Marcus after 1 year. I mean, Notre Dame, they're going to be fighting and clawing for 7 wins here. But I will say this, they will give him at least one more year to see what he can do, because I think he hit it out the park on the defensive side of the ball with the Al Golden hire. I think that that was a pretty solid hire, because their defense is not bad. Where they're struggling at is, one, they need a quarterback. They need to go into the portal and find a competent quarterback. And two, they need to go into the portal and at least get 2 to 3 wide receivers. And then three, I would consider making a change from Tommy Rees. They need to get it at Notre Dame. I don't think that's a place where you learn on a job to be an offensive coordinator. Tommy Rees is a young guy. I can see him being a quarterback coach, but giving him the reins to call the plays at a high level, I think that was a mistake on Marcus' part. I will absolutely go out and try to find a home run hire. Like, if I'm Marcus, I would totally go give Tom Herman a call to be my offensive coordinator. I feel like Tom is probably not the best head coach, but I think that Tom is a heck of an offensive coordinator, and he would know how to command as far as the rest of the coaches on what the expectations are. You know, I listen to Zach Smith podcast, and Zach and everybody knows Zach and Tom have butted heads with each other and stuff. And Zach can tell you, Tom is a brilliant mind when it comes to coordinating. He may not be the best head coach, but when it comes to the offensive coordinator, he can dial them up with the best of them.
Yeah, I mean, Buckeye fans, I feel like, don't like Tom Herman for whatever reason, maybe because of the recruiting stuff. Maybe he's the one that turned in the information to Brett McMurphy. I get all that, but I don't know if they win a national championship in 2014 without Tom Herman. He was a very good offensive coordinator that year. Then he came up with the game plan, him and Urban both with Cardale. Like, we're basically just going to throw the ball to the sidelines, and it worked. Either it's going to be complete or it's going to be out of bounds. That 59-0 win over Wisconsin and Dave Aranda, that was a clinic. Then beating Alabama and Oregon. And the whole year, I mean, just the way that Tom Herman kind of pieced things together, I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Tom Herman because he helped the Buckeyes win a national championship. All right, let's get to this. Well, let me get this Toledo score prediction off of here. All right, there we go. Final question. I'm glad Steve from YouTube brought this up, J-Book. He said, how quick do they get Caden Curry into the game? This was what I asked Ryan Day about this, and I asked Jim Knowles about this week. They both said, yes, it looks like he's earning more playing time. He really, really flashed last week. Now, J-Book, as you know, they're very deep at defensive end, but how quickly do you think they're going to get Caden Curry in the game tomorrow night?
Sounds like they're going to try to get him in early on. I will say this, and not to say anything negative about the kid, give Caden Curry Javonte Jean-Baptiste reps. I haven't seen anything out of JPP that says, hey, he should be playing over Caden Curry right now. I look at Caden Curry and say, hey, this is a kid that's showing that he can play at a high level. He has a motor. He's more developed than what you typically see out of true freshmen. And I would say this, just turn that kid loose. Give him the reps. Only thing that's holding Caden Curry back is Larry Johnson. Larry has to get him in the game and get him the reps. And if they can turn that kid loose, I do think that he should be someone that is eating into some of these upperclassmen's reps.
Yeah, we have a lot of commenters saying the exact same thing. And I think some of the upperclassmen are playing decent. I just think these young guys are studs, the 4 second-year guys, and then Caden Curry. Looks to me like Caden Curry needs to be in the rotation. I wouldn't mind seeing him as that number 4 defensive end over guys like Tyler Friday and Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Tyler Friday's got so much respect in the program. But I think Caden Curry should be that number 4 defensive end. Zach Harrison had the most snaps of any defensive end on the team last week. He's not putting up big stats, but the coaches think he's doing a good job setting the edge. Obviously, JTT. I know it's not really JTT, but Ryan Day calls him JTT. I'm going to call him JTT. And Jack Sawyer. I think Caden Curry should be that number 4 defensive end. So we shall see. Great stuff out of Jonah Booker, as always. Thank you very much for your knowledge, J-Book. Thank you to all of the listeners and the viewers. We appreciate that very much. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.